This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's also fantasy football season.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
In a fantasy league, you need one quarterback, two running backs, a couple of tight ends. So clearly, New England Patriots are playing fantasy football. One quarterback on the Patriots depth chart, Mac Jones. Two running backs. Is this a PPR league? I hope so. Because Devontae Parker,
he
might have a lot of catches.
Today's guests. Florida State head coach Mike Norvell, NBC Sunday Night Football analyst Chris Collinsworth, Iowa head coach Kirk Ferentz, and now it's Rich Eisen.
College football, pro football, green jacket, gold jacket. We care though. We give a you know what right here on the Rich Eisen Show, right here on this busy Thursday. It is time to hang out for the next 3 hours on the Roku channel or on the radio, terrestrial and Sirius XM and Odyssey. We're thrilled to have you here. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Phone lines can be lit whenever you darn well please. We'll have time to take your phone calls. We've got three guests, two college football coaches, Kirk Ferentz of the Iowa Hawkeye football program, trying to win his first outright title since he was an offensive line coach back in the day with Hayden Fry. He's trying to win a first piece of it, and first time in 19 years, the Iowa Hawkeyes have a new quarterback from the University of Michigan days. Cade McNamara will be chatting with Kirk Ferentz in hour three. Mike Norvell is first up, the marquee game of the weekend. Mm-hmm. The last weekend with no professional football being played on it until the bye week before the Super Bowl. It will be LSU and FSU. Florida State's head coach, Mike Norvell, will be on this program in less than 20 minutes' time. It'll be a great conversation with him. Chris Collinsworth, the centerpiece of this program, as he will be 1 week from today getting ready to step in the booth with Mike Tirico to bring you Lions and Chiefs to kick off the 2023 National Football League season on NBC. He's on today's program. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman.
Hey, Rich, what's happening?
DJ Mikey D is indeed nuts in his chair. Good to see you, Mike. And good to see you, TJ Jefferson. Looks like the candle's already lit.
I never knew we had a centerpiece to the show, Rich.
We do, right in the middle.
Just learned.
On Mondays, it's usually Overreaction Monday. If we can work it out tomorrow, we'll have What's More Likely right in the middle of the program. That's just letting you know how the sausage gets made on our rundowns. So let's start with, again, the final piece of the off-season storyline puzzle getting fit in, with the exception of a couple of holdouts of some top defensive linemen. And imagine Joe Burrow, now that he's back on the playing field, between now and a week from Sunday when the Bengals open up the season against the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. Joe Burrow will get signed to the richest contract in the history of National Football League play. But other than that, we had one last big piece land in the last 24 hours, and that's Jonathan Taylor not going anywhere. I mean, his storyline kind of lurked behind the scenes as we were seeing Miles Sanders leave Philadelphia for $6 million a year to Carolina, and then Austin Eckler being shown an opportunity to go get a trade by the Chargers, only for him to come back and stay and get a little bit of extra dollars put on his contract. And then the franchise tag players, Saquon Barkley, and also Josh Jacobs at the running back position. Kareem Hunt and Leonard Fournette still ATC. Dalvin Cook released in the middle of us waiting to see how everything would play out with the franchise tag running backs. Ezekiel Elliott signing with the Patriots. Behind all of that, Jonathan Taylor was lurking in Indianapolis, coming back from an injury-marred 2022 campaign. Word that his ankle still wasn't ready to roll. I was sitting here assuming it was ready to roll. He just didn't want to roll until he got more bankroll from Indianapolis. And now the final piece of the puzzle. He, like Austin Eckler, was shown an opportunity to find a trade partner. Eckler came back, and the Chargers gave him extra cash. Taylor is told, you got to come back because we didn't find anything remotely close to what we would accept for you. And he comes back, and they put him on the physically unable to perform list, meaning he can't play until week five. Now, we had Tom Pelissero on yesterday saying, okay, they might still trade him. It's not as if it's a collective bargained deadline that passed on Tuesday. It was what the Colts set as a deadline. So phone lines can still ring. Opportunities can still be made for Jonathan Taylor. And in Indianapolis as well. The question is how can things get put back together? And sure enough, Chris Ballard, the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts, who has not made a public appearance throughout this entire process. I guess the most you've seen of Chris Ballard really on television is right here on the Roku channel in the documentary, The NFL Draft, The Pick Is In, because the NFL Films cameras were embedded in the Indianapolis Colts draft room in late April. So Chris Ballard was asked yesterday, and this guy is just, he's one of the unique ones, man. He just tells you what's on his mind. It's the filter between head and mouth sometimes can catch a word or two, but not much. He just will let you know what's on his mind and what's in his heart. And this is what he had to say about the relationship with Jonathan Taylor now and moving forward.
Jonathan is a well-respected and a really good human being and a damn good football player. I think we all know this. All right. Things like this happen. I tell every rookie that comes in, there's going to be a point when we disagree, and it's usually about money. And it's going to be hard. And just know that doesn't change my care level for you. I care deeply for Jonathan Taylor. I have great respect for Jonathan Taylor. Our relationship, I would tell you, is, look, even when it gets hard, I won't quit on the relationship. I won't do it. I think too much of the young man. I think too much of what he's given our organization and how hard he's played for us. And what sucks, I mean, the situation, I'm not going to sit here and give you some rosy picture like, oh, this is just, everything's okay. No, it sucks. It sucks for the Colts. It sucks for Jonathan Taylor, and it sucks for our fans. It does. And it's where we're at, and we've got to work through it. And we're going to do everything we can to work through it. Relationships are repairable. They're repairable. Like, I don't, when guys get emotional and take a stance, you got to have some, you know, you got to be able to work through those.
Well, he's not wrong. Relationships are repairable. You know how they're repairable? Money. That's about it. Honestly, that's let's just call it.
The answer to all of your problems
and
is always
it's
more
tough.
Money.
It's tough when you've clearly got an owner that doesn't want to pay him right now. Maybe Chris Ballard feels the same right now. Certainly if he's not healthy, you're not going to bestow a contract that is 12, 13 million per if the guy's not answering the bell for a season. We have no idea how the ankle's responding and things of that nature. And you know why feelings are hard for Jonathan Taylor? Just as a, for instance, during that soundbite, Diana Russini, our friend and colleague now of The Athletic, reporting T.J. Hockenson just got a four-year deal worth $66 million. He's a tight end.
Cha-ching.
How many four-year $66 million contracts at, wait a minute, I don't want to short it, can be worth $68.5 million? How many of those are belong to running backs? Okay. So that's why things can get particularly emotional for running backs these days. Asked about whether he was allowed to seek a trade. Can you confirm? Which was an interesting question since we've been talking about this trade possibility for days, and folks have been reporting on this for days that, you know, teams were interested and terms were exchanged. Like, I want Jalen Waddle for him.
Me too.
I want Jalen Waddle. Here's what I want. I want Jalen Waddle and all your money for a player that our owner said, league won't miss him if he's gone tomorrow.
I want Jalen Waddle. I want Ace Ventura. What a stance. I want Dan Marino's isotoners.
That's right. I want Ray Finkel's ring.
Yeah.
And Einhorn. Don't forget.
We cannot forget Einhorn. Thank you for that, TJ.
Well done, TJ.
Asked about the trade and why is he on the physically unable to perform list, this is the answer from Chris Ballard.
Did we give him permission to seek a trade? Yes, we did. Yes, we did. I'm not going to get into the details of teams, what was offered and what wasn't offered. But what I'm going to tell you is Jonathan is valuable. And at the end of the day, we're not, I'm not just going to let him walk out the building. I'm not going to do that. It's not the best thing for the Colts and the organization. All right. As for the decision to put him on PUP, it's when you're still having effects from last year's surgery and still having pain and not 100%, we're not going to put a player on the field that's still complaining of pain in the ankle. I'm not going to do that, an injury. I wouldn't do that to any player. Wouldn't treat anybody any differently. So what Jonathan will do is he will rehab his butt off and try to get himself ready to go.
Man, I just want to know. He's complaining of pain in his ankle. Is that again him saying, yeah, my ankle hurts. I can't practice right now because he's trying to be physically unable to perform or physically unwilling to perform. And the Colts, well, we'll take you at your word. I haven't received much confirmation as to what, is this a game or is this legit? And if it's legit, then of course he's not going to get a market valued contract elsewhere. And the Colts are not going to get anything returned that they wanted unless they were really just asking for wildly outlandish fantasy football type requests that would be sent by a 12-year-old to another 12-year-old. What about the idea of Anthony Richardson needing this kid? That question was asked of Chris Ballard point blank.
Do you think that stunts Anthony's growth or hinders his early development, not having Jonathan next to him?
Well, look, when you don't have a great player, but I don't think it stunts his growth. No, not at all. But it doesn't, I don't know. Did it stunt Andrew's growth without a special back?
Andrew being Luck. Look, it didn't stunt Luck's growth, but it sure appeared to stunt his longevity.
Boom.
Offensive line didn't help. He got killed.
It's a team game. It's a team game.
Yeah.
Right? It's a team game. And that's also a team game in the front office. If Jim Irsay's saying, we're not paying. Last year sucked, to use the phrase of the day, apparently, in Indianapolis. We're not paying anyone off of that, even though last year sucked for many reasons created by Jim Irsay's sudden impetuousness at the position. And that impetuousness is definitely making the seat that Ballard was sitting in hot, I would imagine. And he's a good evaluator, I think. Because Anthony Richardson, I think, is going to play football in this league for a good long time. Week 5. Man, oh man, is this just going to linger? Not this week, I don't think. Unless, I'm sure, leading up to the first Sunday games, one of the highly talented information men and women in our business will have the latest on Jonathan Taylor that just will pop out just when the television sets snap on Sunday mornings. I bet you there'll be something new on that. But then the games will get played. And then right around like week 2, week 3, when Indianapolis is either, who knows, after Jacksonville and at Houston and at Baltimore, let's just say they're 1-2, taking on the Rams. Where's Jonathan Taylor going to be? What's his readiness? What's going on? What happens in the first month of the season with anybody else at the position? Who might be more willing to part with their Jalen Waddles? Or not? Strikes me right now, Jonathan Taylor, unless there is a major need somewhere. And to me, again, if
if Ballard was asking apparently for the moon, what's going to happen if a team comes in desperate? Heaven forbid one of Green Bay's backs go down, one of Miami's backs go down. What do you think he's going to ask for then? What, the price will be less? Strikes me that Jonathan Taylor is going to have to figure out how to get that ankle settled to play for the Indianapolis Colts and then figure out what happens if he gets franchise tagged next year, just like Josh Jacobs did. Let's not forget. Okay? That he's a second-year player. So there is no fifth-year option like Jacobs had on him that the Raiders didn't use, leading to this whole thing. So, strikes me that Jonathan Taylor is going to play for the Indianapolis Colts this year. And he needs to, I guess, swallow that. Because the problem is he's going to have to repair it himself in his own mind, because it doesn't appear that money is coming as the reparation. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Obviously, things can change between now and when things might change. But right now, that's the way I'm seeing it. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. Let's take a break. The head coach of Florida State football getting set to take on none other than LSU, while a very famous alum is talking about his degree from Talladega University. That's coming up. Mike Norvell of Florida State. Hey, everybody. With the busy fall season just around the corner, you might be just like me, looking for wholesome, convenient meals for jam-packed days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with your lifestyle. Refresh your healthy habits right now without missing a beat. Choose from 34 or more weekly flavored, packed, dietitian approved meals ready to eat in 2 minutes. Level up with gourmet plus options prepared to perfection by chefs and ready to eat in record time. So go to factormeals.com/Eisen50 right now and use the code Eisen50 to get 50% off. That's code Eisen50 at factormeals.com/Eisen50 to get 50% off.
The NFL is here, and it's all about the sweet offers from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL game.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code FIELDGOAL to sign up. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See dkng.co/football for eligibility, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
Okay, we're back here on the program. Our radio audience is going to join in less than 2 minutes' time, and that's when we'll bring in the head coach of Florida State football, Mike Norvell. So we had a conversation prior to the show that got heated here. I'm glad that everything calmed down before we got on the air about who responds to text chains the least.
Oh, yeah, this was... I'm not included, so I can't respond.
You are not, because we don't. You know what? That's true. We don't include Mike in too many text chains. Because two things. We don't include you in show conversations because we don't know if you're going to be here. Show content conversations. Yeah, we also don't know if you're going to be here.
Yeah, I get it.
Bowen, it's just us goofing. You're involved.
No, I know that. I'm joking.
So there's that. And then the question is, who responds the least?
Right.
You guys were.
Who waits the longest or who just doesn't respond?
You guys were like all over each
and
other.
And there's no question who doesn't respond the longest.
It's okay.
It's not you.
I know that it's not me.
It's TJ Jefferson.
It's Rich Eisen. Wait, what?
Well, I honestly need to know why you would say such a thing.
Because when there's a group chat, when there's me, you, Chris, Hoskins, Smitch, and everyone, you're engaged, right? And that's a lot of show talk, a lot of like, hey, we got Bruce Foman coming on Wednesday.
You're great. Sure. Uh-huh.
When it's me, you, and Chris just kind of shooting the gift and BSing, and I'll send you guys videos, you don't respond to those songs.
All right, Chris, you need to do me this favor because we can't drag the head coach of Florida State football into this.
You
need
to,
you need to look at our text exchange.
Of what, me, you, and TJ?
Yes, that's what it is. Basically, this is the stage.
We've been all engaged lately because we were doing that fantasy draft together.
So scroll back.
Okay.
Well, even that, too. Even that, too.
Well, you're pretty convinced who you want, so...
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. He's entering his fourth season as head coach of Florida State football, getting set to take on LSU. Mike Norvell here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Mike?
Rich, doing well, man. Appreciate you having me on. Obviously excited about... Sunday night and getting the thing kicked off.
Before we get to that, let's talk about you a little bit, if you don't mind. You were born in Irving, Texas. Is that where you were raised as well?
I was. I grew up in the Metroplex. I moved around, you know, quite a few times, but for my entire, until I was 18 years old, I was in the Metroplex.
Okay, so did you go to the old Texas Stadium? I did.
That was the first NFL game I ever went to. I lived about a mile and a half away from it.
So, do you remember? Like, what was the circumstances where you went in and you saw the hole in the roof and all of that stuff back in the day?
It was pretty special. And actually, when I was playing youth league football, I got a chance to play in it, where there was an event that they put on, the Cowboys put on, and so got a chance to play on the old turf. Got a nice little turf burn when I was out there.
Ah.
But no, it was definitely a special experience for you know, a boy growing up in Dallas.
So I'm just trying to do the math here. So was that when the triplets were in action when you were playing?
They were.
Okay.
Yeah, that was one of my. Because I was so close, even times when I didn't have a ticket to the game, you know, I'd get there early, you know, about 3 hours before the game, and stand by the tunnel just to see some of the players go in and watch them. And actually, one of my prized possessions is a signed football from the triplets while they were going through it and their great run. And so, I definitely enjoyed that time growing up, and you know, just kind of always loved the game.
So then, what would that young Mike Norvell say if he knew that the current Mike Norvell has it within him to make Emmett Smith very miserable? Mike, what would that kid say?
It's pretty funny because I look back at it now, and you got Emmett, and then you got Michael Irvin. So I got the rivalry cornered on both sides of it.
You could make the triplets. I'm sure if you went back in time and you would want to make the triplets as happy as they made you back in the day. But you are not paying it forward, Mike.
Yeah,
right?
It's okay. I appreciate them for how kind they were to me back in the day. But now there's a job to be done.
Understood. There's a job to be done, and you're getting set to take on LSU this weekend. The challenges you're seeing on film, and obviously having you've got an old hand at quarterback, clearly. But this is a new season, and there's always fluctuations that come with that. What are you seeing on film and the first week of the season that's your challenge in front of you?
I mean, we're going to play a great team. And LSU, they've got a lot of returning experience, you know, very talented group, you know, offensively, majority of their offense is back. Jaden Daniels is definitely a special player with what he can do with his arm, but then you couple that to how dynamic he is with his legs as well. They do a great job with their scheme to try to get the playmakers the ball in space. Defensively, I mean, it's a group that is very explosive, and they're impactful at the line of scrimmage. They've got good depth. They've got some newcomers that have joined the program that I think are going to make a great impact for them. And so this is going to be a great college football game. We're very excited about the team that we have. To have two top 10 teams kick it off. The opening weekend. Sunday night, the only game on television. I mean, this is what college football is all about.
What excites you about your team?
I think the depth, the experiences, the playmakers that we bring, and just the way that these guys are willing to work. I mean, they they've really done an incredible job since January. You know, not only the work physically but mentally. The work they put into building the relationships. This is a team that cares about each other. And you know, as they go through, the course of a day. I mean, they're pushing to challenge themselves to get better. And you know, that's something that's huge for us. And you see that in their relationships and just the way that they operate.
First 10-win season since Jimbo Fisher's last year there in 2016, Coach. Is there any, cascade effect from one season to the next in college football, do you think?
No, I mean, you know, as we're excited about this team. We're excited about the way that we've grown, the steps that we've taken. I mean, it's been an interesting journey, but we're doing it with the right young men. And like I said, these guys they work to bring the right mindset, on a daily basis. You know, they push each other. You know, they're challenging themselves not only on the field but off the field, and you know what they're willing to give to where they want to go. And so as we go into this last year, you know, we had a bunch of experiences, some really good ones, and then some times of adversity that we get to learn from. And now it's about applying those lessons and just being as consistent as we can possibly be, going to show up and be our best here with this year that's ahead.
And Jordan Travis entering his sixth season playing college football, fourth with you. I mean, he might be more tenured than some professors there in Tallahassee, Coach. So what is it like to coach a college quarterback in his sixth playing season?
Well, I mean, Jordan's remarkable, and the growth that he's shown throughout his career. You know, I think he's one of the best players in all of college football. You know, he's so wise to to the game and with the things that we ask him to do. But he cares so much about who he does it with, and he's a wonderful leader. He's truly one that his actions speak louder than his words. But when it's time for him to have to say something to the team, they all listen, because they've watched him. They've watched his journey. They've seen him in the great moments. They've seen him in the challenges where he's had to get up and continue to push. And so grateful that I get another year with Jordan to help him to continue to grow and accomplish all that I believe that he can accomplish.
What can he bring to the equation? Give me an example over the last couple of seasons that you've seen the growth from him.
I mean, I think when you watch him in just a drop back passing game, I mean, he is his understanding. We put a lot on his plate. He understands protections. We're a rhythm based timing offense. In the passing game, and he does that with great confidence. He's got great eyes, great vision. You can deliver the ball. One of the best deep ball passers that I've had the chance to be around. But then, he's also so very electric whenever something breaks down and he's got to make a play with his legs. He's got the ability to extend plays. And as we've been able to grow as an offense and just continue to improve on the offensive line, bring great playmakers around them at the skill position players, he's really flourished. And I think just that leadership and command of the offense is something that is really special.
Mike Norvell, Florida State Seminole head coach, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How has NIL changed your job there at Florida State? You were there, I believe, let me just do this right, maybe it was the end of year one in the summer entering year two when NIL came into existence. What do you have for me on that front?
NIL has changed all elements of college athletics, and it's great for the players to have a chance to benefit for who they are and obviously what they do. And for us, it's still about when we go and we get a chance to go to work. I mean, every day we show up trying to help our players to be able to achieve their dreams, what they want to accomplish on the field, who they want to be off the field. And, it still comes down to the work. Now, whenever it's, as guys are coming in, we're being at Florida State, I mean, this is a special place. We've got a great, great following, great fan base, so much exposure and a wonderful platform to be able to do it from. I think our players have really seen the benefits of that, and then being able to help them manage just all things that from the outside of sometimes you got to be willing to say no to things that might also take your time that could keep you from what that ultimate dream is. So just trying to help best educate players in just the management of time and the focus of what they can do while still being able to capitalize on the opportunity that they have being a great collegiate athlete and being in that spotlight.
Well, the issue with NIL, Coach, and I'm sure you've seen it firsthand, is you mentioned capitalizing on an opportunity. and with capitalization, clearly. But it's usually it's used more as an inducement for recruitment by the player to somebody like yourself, saying, I can make this much elsewhere. How much money can I make here? Which is usually in historically not part of recruitment. Have you had a player come into your office and say, I need to have this number hit by the collective, otherwise I'm not coming?
No, I mean, we have pretty you know, real conversations. Just there are collectives out there that around Florida State, and obviously our players have a great situation that because of that platform. But ultimately, that's not I don't get involved in those conversations. Mm-hmm. With our players or people that are looking at that. For me, it's about continuing to show what it is the opportunity provides, for how they're going to be developed on the field, what they're going to be with the place, the education, all things that are that make Florida State special, and who they get to represent and what they get to represent. And ultimately, I mean, it's about still that journey. And I think when you're sitting there looking at what you're trying to bring to the program, it's still about the right fit. And I want guys that when they come here, they want it all. They want to be able to achieve every dream on the field. They want to be able to achieve every dream off the field. Getting that college education and putting themselves in the best position, for their future and all the things that they can do.
Would you want to have some sort of federal government congressional rule law put in place so you and your colleagues can have a little bit more of a guardrail here? Would you be advocating that?
I think with all things, guardrails, guidelines, just being able to have some structure to different elements, more than anything, just to help guide the student athletes, because I think you've seen situations over the years where there's plenty of it. There's plenty of outside advisors and people that might have an opinion on a situation or what something might look like or what something might be. And with there not being any, true overall understanding or transparency with that, there's times that you see, guys that are 18 to 22 years old, they might be receiving guidance that ultimately is, one, maybe not real, or two, is not in the best interest of what's for their future. And so, being able to have that overall guardrails, I think it can be a positive for student athletes, be a positive for universities, and those are all things that ultimately I know are always being explored and looked at. But just trying to keep this game and the great young men that get to play it in the best position to grow and continue to have success.
And as you know, Coach Norvell, the story going around college football right now is realignment and conferences of that nature, and what the ACC might add, some of the remaining pack, what we're calling the Pac-4 teams, and maybe SMU or your school, your program, a jewel that could be added elsewhere out of the ACC. What can you share about the future of this program in the conference you're about to play in right now?
Florida State is a special place, and we've got a wonderful tradition, incredible legacy here in the ACC, and we're excited to continue to push and build and elevate all things within our program, within our conference. That's what we can control out there on the field. And as a football team and program, it's about continuing to push and put our best foot forward. I'm excited about this team and obviously the competitiveness of our conference here that you're going into this season. But it's a different age in college athletics, and you've seen a lot of movement or a lot of realignment and things like that, which to some point is sad. I spent 4 years in the Pac-12, and it's unfortunate to see something that had a great storied tradition and some of those legacies, to see that kind of break up. But at the end of the day, I'm here at a wonderful place with incredible support and fan base, and I'm excited for what our future holds.
Do you have these conversations with your athletic director, or whenever you're around the school president, do you find out what's going on? You don't have to share if you don't want, but is this are you curious yourself?
Well, I mean, I think you know, we have unbelievable alignment here at Florida State. You know, incredible president, board of trustees, you know, athletic director, and so you know, as we move forward, I mean, I know my job. I know the responsibility that I have, and that's to hopefully, you know, continue to get our program back to where it deserves to be among the nation's elite, and that's what my focus is on doing, and I'm just grateful for the support I get from our administration.
And of course, Sunday night's pretty big on that front. You want to talk about elite? You're right. This is it. Sunday night football will be on NBC from here after that on the professional level. But here you go. This is pretty big. Right? I mean, do you got
absolutely?
Do you got like a whole special outfit picked out, Coach? You know, what do you think? What do you got? The visor? You got a visor?
I don't know about the outfit, but okay. You know, it's a great stage, and it's why you come to Florida State to play in games like this. You know, a year ago, I mean, you know, getting a chance to play this game down in the Superdome, now, you know, kicking off in our home state, mm-hmm. You know, here in Orlando, and you know, this is going to be a great game, and you know, obviously two great teams with a lot of wonderful playmakers, and just excited to be able to be a part of it.
Coach, greatly appreciate the time. Let's do this more often. Thanks again for calling in, and good luck on Sunday against LSU and beyond.
I appreciate you guys, and if y'all ever want to add me into a text thread, I will respond to it.
Okay. Appreciate that. You touched a third rail subject here, Coach. You must have overheard what we were saying before we got to you. I mean, seriously, if you're a busy guy, you get people texting you all the time, and sometimes takes you some time to respond, right? You know what I mean? You understand?
Sure, yeah, I mean, that sounds good. I mean, if that makes you feel better, but yeah.
Wow. Okay, I appreciate that. Thanks,
you know,
Coach.
As a Florida State fan, of course
that's
I'm
true.
Gonna,
you
I'm
are
a
Florida State fan.
Coach's text,
that's
of
true.
Course, in a heartbeat.
Okay. Coach,
appreciate you guys having me on, and go Noles.
Thanks very much. That's Mike all Norvell, right. Head coach of Florida State.
Go Noles.
Didn't push back there, TJ, because I respect you too much, and the coach needs to go.
About what?
That you're also a Penn State fan and a Pitt fan.
That just those two.
Okay. Those three.
Three. Well, three. Those two that you mentioned.
And three.
You act like you act like you
know,
you can't
honestly,
love, you love all three of your children, right? Why can't I love three teams?
My gosh. Now you sound like a dog parent being like, I know what it's like to have kids. No, you don't. You have a dog.
That's not what I said.
He's got a team.
It's a team.
Three teams.
Teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Teams.
I'm not. Do you feed the Florida State Seminoles? Do you clothe them?
Do you pay for childcare and clothing?
Do they refuse to do things when you ask?
No.
Okay.
Do they go to bed on time?
No. Just wondering. Just trying to see what other similarities there might be.
Do they pick up after themselves?
Do they create friction occasionally with the one person in your life you want happy?
Yeah, they do.
Never heard the phrase "Happy Penn State, happy life."
Doesn't really rhyme.
Nope.
Doesn't really roll.
Okay.
Nobody would say that.
Let's go to break. We're entering dicey territory here. We come back. Deion Sanders. The latest with my boy, my buddy, my guy, Deion Sanders. When we come back.
Are you currently enjoying this show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
It's time for kickoff, and the Believe podcast will get you ready for the new season.
How do you live through this as a Detroit sports fan?
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
You solidified your defense. You got better.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
If you don't do those things, then you're not even trying your hardest to win at football, and I don't know what we're doing.
There was a lot of great players on those teams that I was fortunate to be part of.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
I also love the story that you've told, and if you wouldn't mind telling the audience here as well, at the Combine, when you would be pulled into rooms and you didn't know which room you were being pulled into by which.
I was, you know, it had come back in that day, everybody was reaching for it. Agents was in the hotel. Yeah. Everybody was everybody.
It was all scheduled.
It was scheduled, structured. You can't be in a hotel. You can't be on the premises. Then it was everything. It was wild. So I'm backing away from crowds and people trying to grab me. And I backed into this room and the Giants was there. And it was the Giants room. And they had people sitting down taking these tests. What do they call these things?
Oh, yeah, like the psychology test, right?
I mean, the thing was that thick, man. And then I sat down, and they gave me this thing. And what is this? They say, it's this test, and, you know, we need you to take it. I said, oh, what picker do you have? It's like the 10th. I said, I'd be gone for then. So I got up and walked out. I'd be gone. Well, I'd be way gone for then.
And then let's just get into it here. I mean, Belichick said he watched you run the 40 at the combine. And that you ran it and then ran into the tunnel. And is it true?
That's not true.
Okay. You did not run into a waiting car and being taken to the airport right then and there.
No, because I had more interviews and all of that. No. That story just grows and
it
grows.
It does. It's like a fish story.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's not true. I did everything that I was asked to do. Now, I didn't lift. I ain't do none of that because Jerry Rice to this day hadn't laid across my arms and let me bench pressing. You know, I don't know where that comes from.
I love that you say that. When you're watching the defensive backs
put up the
weight and reps of 225
and
struggling to get a fifth one up.
You're what right. Have you ever said, man, well, if that guy would have got one more rep, he'd have been there on that play. Never. Or the three cone drill. Like, no, this has nothing to do with nothing. So I didn't do any of that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it all worked out.
Yeah.
I love Prime, and I don't care who knows it. All of his appearances on our YouTube page, including guest hosting. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Want to talk about one of my teammates, not here, because I consider Deion Sanders that. When Deion took the job at NFL Network years and years ago, I was told by so many players who played with him, he's one of the best teammates you'll ever have, and that's a fact. It's a fact. I tell stories all the time about his personality and his drive and his determination and his professionalism and his caring for everyone else around. You saw it firsthand when you were at NFL Network.
I did. I've seen it. Okay. I've seen it there. I've seen it here.
When Steve Mariucci joined NFL Network and it was Deion, Mooch, and yours truly on NFL Game Day highlights at night, we had a blast. We had a total blast. And they wanted to put Deion in the middle of the set because he's Deion. He's the center of attention. He's the center of personality. He's the center of everything. It's the center of the universe.
I love this story.
And he was concerned about that because Mariucci, who was new to television, would be sitting to his left. I'm on the right. He's in the middle. And Mariucci's kind of out to the side. And he said, don't put me in the middle. Put Mooch in the middle. Have me out to the side because if I'm having a conversation with Rich and I'm doing my thing, Mooch is in the middle, as opposed to just I'm turning my back to him. I'm like, oh, okay. When Deion Sanders went into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, we were still doing a TV show out of that at NFL Network. By being at the Super Bowl the night before the Super Bowl, there would just be an announcement ceremony. Now, as you know, it's part of NFL Honors. So before it became NFL Honors, we would do a TV show out of it. And one by one, any of the freshly named enshrinees would come from wherever they were in town at the Super Bowl, if they were still there or there just for work, because many of them are analysts, former players turn analysts. They would make their way to our set in some convention center hall. And the year that Deion went in, we knew he was getting in.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And so plans were made. Deion, where are you going to be? Where he was teaching his youth football, coaching his youth football team. And he said, I'm not coming. Why? Because practice is going down when you want me. So if you want me, move the time. We can't. It's set. Well, then I'm not coming. And he's like, how am I going to tell my kids
that it's about the collective when I'm leaving for an individual honor. That's what he said. And boy, did they just lean on him and twist his arm and everything and said, you can just show up last. And sure enough, Deion showed up pissed. Like, this is, you're in the Hall of Fame. He was angry. Why? Because he was with his kids and he didn't want to leave them. And he showed up with a whistle around his neck.
Yep. Yeah, full sweatsuit, coaching outfit, whistle. Yeah.
He came straight from practice.
No, I remember that.
It was amazing. It was great.
So I can't wait to see him on the sidelines against TCU coaching the Colorado Buffaloes to show everybody who thinks he's just doing this for flash, wearing his cowboy hat just for flash because he's prime time, that he's about this. I can't wait. Now, will his team get waxed? Maybe. I don't know. They were one. I mean, they're a one-win team. He's taken over a one-win program in Colorado.
And like, he's basically turned over the entire roster.
Right.
They're 20-point underdogs. You know, they're not expected to
Understood.
Do much.
Yeah, yeah. I get it. But wait till everybody sees that he's about the coaching. And he takes this seriously. And everything, he's a lightning rod. He's used to this. He's in his fourth decade of being a lightning rod of his life? Right?
Yep.
So probably a fifth decade. Man's, what is he, 56, 57? Ever since he came out of the womb in Fort Myers, Florida.
56.
Okay. So he's used to it. So one of the things that he can do as the head coach of Colorado is you use the primetime platform to elevate the program, which I think he's already done. Check that box. He can also bring in fellow Hall of Famers and teammates of mine, Warren Sapp and Michael Irvin. Look at Sapper.
Yeah.
Hashtag not fishing. Okay.
Sapp not fishing.
And Irv. Who, and by the way, if Sapp's going to look at these defensive linemen and tell them something, they'll listen. Irv's going to talk to the receivers, they'll listen. But both of them can speak to the entire team and say, what's up? And they'll listen because they are excellent public speakers. And they come from a position of Hall of Fame strength in their own right. At any rate, so Prime is talking to the media in advance of his first game against TCU, national finalist, the runners-up of last year's college football season. And he was asked about the fact that two Miami Hurricanes are coming in. And you know what? His response was something else, where he basically said to the reporter who's trying to make fun of the fact that he's a Florida State Seminole and he's bringing in two Miami Hurricanes and Irv and Sapp, aren't you a Knoll? And he said, no. Why do you keep calling me that instead of where I graduated from? I'm a who? I thought it was where you graduated from, isn't it? Saying he's not a Knoll. And he said where he's from, his school is Talladega. That's where I graduated from. He got a degree from Talladega College before he took the job at Jackson State. He's from an HBCU. Graduated from Talladega. He was valedictorian there. You know why? Because at Talladega, if you're not first, you're last.
Also, I think the NCAA requires head coaches to have a degree.
Yes.
So that's why he did that.
Correct. So he's now getting hammered, certainly by Florida State Seminoles. And I just want to say this. Okay. I don't know if he's going to say this or not. I believe when Mike Norvell, our previous guest, got the gig at Florida State from Memphis, that's a job Prime was interested in. And he was in the spot of his life and his career of saying, look, I'm all about this. You know me. I know you. And other sports give head coaching gigs to people who are top-notch players who have shown they love the coaching profession. They may not have pounded the sticks in the coaching profession, but why not me? And I think Florida State went with Mike Norvell. And so you're asking him, he's a no right now, on the eve of being a Colorado Buffalo head coach. That's a non-starter. That page in his life, I believe, is turned. And I have heard him talk about Bobby Bowden and Mickey Andrews. He reveres those people. I'm not, look, he could speak for himself. I just feel the need sitting in this microphone to speak for him, even though he doesn't need that. But people are saying he's disrespecting Florida State. You know what he's doing? He's actually being the best version of him he can be. Isn't that what anybody from an alma mater wants out of their greats, which he is? What do you think? He's going to sit there and go, oh, I'm a no for life. When, you know, I went and showed everybody that I am about coaching because I couldn't just apparently get the gig at my alma mater. I could have. Could you imagine if he was doing this for Florida State? With all due respect to the guy we just hung on with.
They would be national champion favorites.
So,
without question.
So I'm just saying that, you know, the amount of people that are pushing back. And I will ride or die with Prime. And he may have a rough season in the wins and losses. But I can't wait till people will see what he's like on the sideline. Like, oh, okay. And then he'll say something in a soundbite in a post-game press conference or a pre-game press conference. And people will just scream and yell. But he's about this. This is, if you ask him right now, are you a Cowboy? Are you a Niner? You a Knoll? You a Yankee? You a Red?
You a Raven?
No, he's a coach.
Commander?
Yeah. Well, he's still dead money on their cap, I think.
He's a Buffalo.
That's what he is.
Right.
And also a Talladega College graduate because the HBCU gave him his start. That I think Florida State did not. So let's all just sit back and watch Coach Prime in his first big game in Colorado. That's coming up hour number two in a moment. Okay.
And as you pound the table for Dion, I know you guys laugh about me having all these college teams, but I've told you many times, he's the reason. Being a kid, I read a story about this guy, and I was like, you know, we didn't have the internet back then. We couldn't really see Florida State. But I read about this guy, Deion Sanders, and he was just seemed larger than life. And that's what drew me to
and
seeking out Florida State.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what was going on.
Well, I mean, and, you know, he's just a very prideful guy who knows who's with him and who isn't and who he was counting on potentially and who didn't. And he'll never forget.
Yeah. And I also say all the time, Rich, as much of a fan of Deion it is, it just kind of hurts me a little that whenever he comes in here, his favorite person without a shadow of a doubt is Del Tufo. He loves Del Tufo, and I am actually jealous of how much Deion loves Del Tufo.
We gelled right at the start. I think he said, we did.
We gelled.
Like, you were his dude, man.
I love Deion.
He's just peanut butter to your gel.
I'm picking him to win this weekend. People think I'm nuts.
Do it, Mike.
I'm taking the, I want it.
So where are you taking them?
Wait, Colorado money line?
I'm picking him to win. He's not a gambler. Deion is the guy that I would literally do anything. He's the
well, he would do anything. Susie threw a 40th birthday surprise party for me. He flew in from Dallas to just surprise me and then flew out. And he'll do that for any of us.
Yeah. 7-1, Mike.
Hour number two, Chris Collinsworth, coming up.
For over three decades, nobody has had a wrestling career like Arn Anderson. Conrad Thompson gets all the stories with Arn.
After watching AEW's Double or Nothing, Amy wants to know, what does dinosaur taste like?
It ain't chicken. It's like biting into a sinewy charcoal briquette.
Ah.
But chewy.
That's disgusting.
Yes, sure is.
Check out Arn every week, wherever you listen.